moving to LA to pursue a career in acting is kind of like moving to a city and trying to start a small business when there are already thousands of people trying to start the same small business. And there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people who already have accomplished starting the same small business and are working.
My name's Lee Foster. You're listening to Action, the No Bullshit podcast dedicated to the pursuit of acting excellence. Today is May 1st, 2019, and this is the 4-year anniversary of the release of the very first episode of this podcast. I released it from a tiny studio apartment. It was 210 square feet. That's small. I've never asked you this before. If you listen, it'd be cool if you subscribed. And I've asked you this about 1,000 times, but if you have not left me a review and a rating, I would absolutely love that. If you've ever gotten any benefit from this podcast over the last 4 years, if I saved you 5 minutes of floundering because of one tip that you heard, give me that 5 minutes back by leaving me a review. It would be so helpful to me. Thank you for listening. I appreciate you. Enjoy the episode. All right. Nelson Rithaller. This is the fourth time that you've been on this podcast. The first time you interviewed me, the second time was just after you'd gotten back from an intensive course in New York. And the third time was the black text on white paper, where we were talking about a exercise that we were both doing where we were analyzing scripts. The purpose of this episode is tomorrow, May 1st, 2019, will be 1 year to the day of you being in Los Angeles. You moved from Minnesota to LA to pursue a career in acting. And May 1st will be my 4-year to the day anniversary of the first episode of this podcast being released. So the reason that I want to talk to you now is I think it's really important to get a real look at what 1 year in LA could look like. Everyone's going to have a different experience. No two experiences are going to be the same, but this is a look at one person's experience of exactly 1 year of pursuing a career in acting in Los Angeles. We're going to get into the nitty gritty. I know you're not going to sugarcoat anything. I'm going to ask you really specific questions. And so anybody who has ever thought about moving to LA or is considering moving to LA, I think this is probably worth listening to. Nelson?
Since we're both coming up on anniversaries tomorrow, one of the things that I would love to hear from you is 4 years is a lot longer than 1 year. I want to know, what are some of your biggest lessons learned or takeaways from doing 4 years of this podcast? Because you've developed quite the listener base, and I think you've helped out a lot of people. But I want to know, what has this done for you?
Yeah. Well, I'm happy to share those things. And let me just start off by saying that I've said it before, but I got a message on Instagram this morning. I got one last night. I get them quite often, and I never take them for granted. I always love getting them. Messages from listeners saying that the podcast has benefited them and them thanking me. It never gets old. And I don't know. I'm humbled by each and every one of those messages I get. People reach out on Facebook and on Instagram, and they email me and everything. So thanks for everybody who ever took the time to write one of those notes. They're always really like heartfelt, and it's obvious that you've taken the time to really craft a really nice message, and I appreciate it. I really appreciate it. All right, Nelson. So let's back up a little bit. So when did you decide that you were going to pursue a career in acting?
Well, I've always loved movies. I've always loved TV shows. And I think I've always had an appreciation for what can seem like the magic art of acting, how people do it. And didn't do it in high school. I took one acting class in college and loved it, sort of left that hanging for a while. And in the middle of grad school, while I was pursuing a master's degree in marriage and family therapy, I did a community theater play and loved it, fell in love with it very hard, and then started doing some really unbelievably awful short films in Minnesota, some student films. But as bad as they were, I had the time of my life. And it was a slow burn build up. Had some fun experiences doing some of these independent films. They got better, and the writing and the things I had access to became a little bit better in Minnesota. And then I met you. December of 2015, I listened to your podcast, gave you a call, and we talked for 2 hours that day. And that really was the shift for me of when this became a floundering attempt at trying to have opportunities to act versus really having a plan and a goal. Compliments to you again. When did I really start wanting to get serious about pursuing it? Possibly when I booked my first commercial in Minnesota. It still plays in Best Buy on the TV in all the stores. But it was a small part. I think I got paid like $350. I was on for one day, but that one day I was the top cast on the call sheet. And when I saw my name on that and I did that and I came home, I thought that was something I've never experienced in my life. And again, it was a non-speaking role. It wasn't a SAG job or anything like that, but it was incredible. And I got to do a few more commercial opportunities in Minnesota. And I think every class that I took, every time I got to do a job, paid, unpaid, it just kept growing. And what's funny is I started talking about LA in the summer of 2016, and you very wisely told me essentially to slow the hell down because you are not ready for LA. And I see you smiling, remembering these conversations, but you basically said, you have no idea what you're talking about. You are nowhere near ready for this. Let's really put a pause in this conversation. Thank you again for doing that. But That prevented me from making a huge mistake of coming to LA too early. And it gave me the opportunity to start focusing on learning about LA. And through a couple of resources that you provided and talking to some other people, I started learning more about the LA market. When I got back from New York, I felt like I couldn't stay in Minnesota. And it was either Atlanta or LA. Through coming out here for a couple of meetings with people, I realized LA was the place for us to be. And we sold our house and moved out here May 1st of 2018, pulled into the driveway of our apartment to Pasadena, California. So it's been a really long journey of researching and learning and talking with my wife and doing things before coming out to LA, all of which I think were enormous blessings.
Before we go any further, I just want to say, in case people are wondering, you're 26, 27 now. What did you do to research before you came, and what did you learn?
One of the major resources I hearken back to is your podcast episode with Bill Oberst Jr. And if anyone is considering moving to LA along with this episode, please do yourself a favor and go back to that episode. And also look up Bill Oberst Jr. on YouTube. He does quite a few more interviews about this topic, but he lays it out in a very, very honest, somewhat brutal way that drew me in, because he made it sound so hard and so challenging and so draining and so like you're climbing a mountain that can't be climbed type thing, that I appreciated that honesty. So listening to that, listening to his interviews, you set me up with somebody who lives here, and we had a phone conversation, and he described a lot of the same things: how hard it is to get auditions, how hard it is to get an agent, many opportunities of trying to talk to people who had boots on the ground here or had boots on the ground here at some point, and asking a lot of the same questions that we're asking today. How hard really is it? What is it like? How expensive is it really? basically creating a portfolio of insights about what it was like to be in LA.
All right. So what were your goals? Did you have 1 year goals before you moved, and did you write them down?
I don't know if I had specific 1 year goals, but I had goals that you and I had talked about of what are the things that I want to accomplish early on. Agents and a manager were on top of the list because you can't do hardly anything without representation. Wanting to become SAG eligible or join the union, obviously wanting to book work. Maybe I wasn't super specific on that. I wanted to book commercial work and try to get my foot in the door for film and television. That may have been a little naive in terms of the television part, or majorly naive. But it was. I think my first year goals were figure out what the hell I'm doing here, what it takes to get stuff done here, and start to establish a foundation. Those aren't all SMART goals, but they were what I had in the beginning.
Okay. And how did that play out? What has the 1 year looked like in terms of accomplishing those goals?
I was lucky enough to sign with my commercial agent that I still have now, Jamie at Lovestone Talent. Love Jamie. She has been nothing short of amazing for me. About 2 weeks in to moving here, it's no secret that getting a commercial agent in LA is not as difficult as getting a theatrical agent, but I was still very happy to get the one that I felt best about. I took meetings with three or four, and I was very fortunate to have a choice and got to figure out which one I was best suited for. Ended up going with Jamie at Lovestone, very happy with her. Back in September, I signed with my first manager theatrically. I'm now with a different manager. About 4 or 5 weeks ago, I decided to make a switch. Just wasn't working out with the first one. I'm now with a new manager, Diana at Pay It Forward Management. Very excited about getting a team up with her. And in terms of the work, I did get to book a small day player role on a short SAG film, paid me $125. And that's been my only non-extra paid work in LA so far, I believe. But then also what I did too, and I encourage anybody who does decide to make the move here, is to sign up for something called Central Casting. And basically Central Casting is one of the few companies that books a ridiculous amount of extra work on almost all the television work and film work in LA. And it's a fantastic opportunity to get on set. And it's actually one of my goals that I was surprised happened so quickly. I wasn't sure how it would. And I took one of the routes possible getting there was I got my SAG eligibility through doing extra work. I did 2 days on Bold and the Beautiful, and I got my third on a set of NCIS. So I'm now SAG eligible, which is really the sweet spot of where you want to be from everything I've heard from my agents and managers have told me. So that was a big part of it. Didn't book as much work as I wanted to, but I did quite a few unpaid short films to work on building my reel, building a reel, and getting footage, and also just to have opportunities to act.
So you have had sort of an interesting struggle with this whole reel business.
Oh, let's talk about the reel. I did not come to LA with a reel. One of my goals early on I wanted to, over the summer, try and do as many projects, paid or unpaid, as I could to get footage for a reel. The intention was good. Again, I think some of my being naive came out because I overestimated the quality of footage that I would get back. And this is in no way a harp on anybody that I've worked with, because I still use some of the footage that I have from a couple of those projects. But I was unsuccessful, in my opinion, in getting the footage that I wanted and needed. And plus, too, you also don't realize how long it takes to get footage back. You would do a project in July, and maybe you wouldn't see that footage till October or November. And that's a lot of time spent waiting for that. So the reel has been a struggle for me. I recently took the plunge and I worked with a company to get my reel done. I did 2 produced scenes. I got some usable footage back from that. Again, maybe not all that I had hoped for. But for me, reels have been very similar to headshots in that headshots have sort of always been a thorn in my side, but they've always gotten better. The first headshots that I took and the second ones that I took compared to the ones that I have now are incomparable. Mm-hmm. And my philosophy on my reel is I'm going to be along that same track because the reel that I have now is better than the one that I came here with, which was zero. And hopefully my reel in a year blows this one out of the water. But that is one of the areas where I think I have had my least amount of success in terms of what I thought I was going to have versus what I have.
What does not having a reel stop you from doing? What roadblocks have you hit?
So I'll paint this picture for you. And again, maybe these numbers are no secret to some of your listeners. Maybe they're new to some of them as well. But let's say Big Bang Theory puts out a co-star role. We need waiter number one to say these two lines. They're probably going to get anywhere between like 2,000 and 4,000 submissions for that role. They're going to bring in a handful of people. But if they don't know you, if you haven't auditioned for them before, if you haven't booked a lot before, you're only a headshot in a reel. And if you don't have a reel, you're only a headshot. And when they have literally thousands of people to choose from, unless you are the most strikingly beautiful human being the world has ever seen, why would they bring you in if they have no footage of you acting? Mm-hmm. And if that footage is really bad, why would they bring you in? Because right. They have the pick of the litter. This is the epicenter of acting in the world. Why would they bring you in? So not having a reel, you're almost cutting your legs off before the race starts. And the race is the auditions. And the race before that is submissions. So if you're submitting no reel or a bad reel, you're putting yourself so far behind already. So having a really great reel, if you have one, it makes it easier to get auditions. It makes it a hell of a lot easier to get great representation. If you can email an agent or a manager and say, here's my headshots and they're awesome and they look like you, and here's my reel, and they watch it and they're like, wow, who is this person? You're probably going to get a meeting unless they have somebody who looks just like you that already books. A reel is the true resume for those people who haven't just, they don't have 15 co-star credits, 10 guest star credits, basically me. My reel is my shot right now because my resume is.
Right. I want to ask you, we're talking somewhat about this race. I mean, this competition for auditions, for jobs in Los Angeles. And one thing that I wonder about a lot is when I used to consider moving to Los Angeles, and I'm not considering that anymore. I love Chicago. I think I was meant to be here. Maybe something will happen and I'll move eventually, or I'll start spending more time there. That's very possible. But, I accepted the fact that I love Chicago and I don't really love LA. I've been going there. Most of my family lives in Los Angeles. I've been going there since I was a little kid, since I was one, multiple times every year. My brother lives there. Most of my family lives there. And it just doesn't fit me right. Something that I think about a lot is what would that be like? Because in Chicago, I'm not surrounded by actors at all. I mean, if I meet another actor, it's rare. It's really rare. In LA, it's not the case. And I just want to know, like, what has your experience been like? What does it actually feel like to be in LA? You went from Minnesota, where most people are not actors. Very few people are actors. Most people work at Target, Target corporate, I mean. So what's it like, man? What does it feel like?
Whenever my family members, friends who aren't in the business, which is 99.9% of them, I don't hardly know any other actors as close friends or family, ask me, so how's it going in LA? Are you booking work? You know, how's it going? My response to them that I've created over the last year is moving to LA to pursue a career in acting is kind of like moving to a city and trying to start a small business when there are already thousands of people trying to start the same small business. And there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people who already have accomplished starting the same small business and are working. And you're playing essentially the lottery that you have a bit more control in. It's not quite so destitute as that, but you're going up against thousands of people just like you, and then thousands of people who are way more experienced than you, who have better relationships with people than you, who are probably a better actor or actress than you. I certainly am in that category right now. There are so many people who are better actors and actresses than me. And there are people who are, you know, all of the famous celebrities who are booking work and have their pick of the everything that they want. They have the jobs that everybody else is gunning for. So there's no promises at all. The only promise is that there's a good chance you'll fail. And beyond that, you have to have so much patience. And you've referenced that quite a few times in podcasts. Particularly, you and I have talked about the quote of Harrison Ford. We think it's Harrison Ford saying that he stayed longer than other people. And what is that a testament to other than that this takes time? Even in your podcast of last week, you guys talked about climbing the rungs of the ladder. You have to be okay knowing that the ladder exists. And if you're not, don't come here unless your uncle is Steven Spielberg or you have millions of followers on Instagram or something like that, because it's not going to happen the way that you want it to. And it will crush you. This city will eat you alive. If you have that if you have that mindset going into it, it will break your heart.
Yeah, I think on the last episode that I released with Alicia Oxy, she referenced, I believe it was Bill Esper. He used to say to people, "You're going to be great, kid. It's going to take you 10 to 15 years." Which, man, yeah. I mean, you gotta have that kind of, you gotta play the long game. I mean, sure, there are the people who get really lucky really quickly.
Hasn't been me so far.
They are the exception to the rule. They are the lottery winners. If you expect to win the lottery, it's like expecting to win the lottery. So what if you could take you now and go back 365 days and talk to Nelson, who's pulling into that driveway? What advice would you give him? Would you give him any advice?
Yes. Get a damn good reel as soon as you can.
So you waited on that.
What I waited on was not taking a quicker route and doing it on my own of going to a company and saying, "Hey, let's do this." And even going through that process again, I would give myself advice, and we can talk about that if you want. The biggest piece of advice that I would give myself is get a reel as quickly as possible, because a lot of the things that I sort of wish I would have known, I already knew. And I don't in any way say that in vanity, but that is only the product of other people investing their time and sharing their wisdom with me. Through your recommendation and encouragement and demanding, essentially, sought out people left and right to talk to about LA. And I truly feel like I was prepared for what I was walking into. I know that sounds crazy or whatever, but I honestly believe it. I honestly believe that I was not unaware of the situation here. I knew about the submission numbers. I knew how hard it was to get an agent theatrically to work with you. I knew how many people were here, how much it cost. I did my homework. This is not like me going to New York, kind of not really knowing anything about that system. I knew how this system worked. I just had never been in it before, outside of have a damn good reel, because if you can get that early, it's going to open up doors for you that maybe others wouldn't. But the piece of advice that I would give anyone is research like you've never researched before. Do all of the research that you possibly can, because like I said, if you don't and you come here bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, you are going to leave with your tail between your legs, heartbroken, probably in a lot less time than you think, or you'll become jaded and you'll be here for a lot longer than you should be.
How do you like LA? For people who don't know, you moved from St. Paul, which is a medium to big sized city, a couple million people, and you moved to LA. How do you like it?
That's a great question. So I live in Pasadena, which is northeast of downtown LA. And Pasadena is what I consider sort of a sanctuary from the rest of LA. If I lived in West Hollywood, if I lived in downtown LA, I think I would hate it. And there's nothing to do with, there's nothing inherently about LA that makes it bad. I just would not identify with the culture of West Hollywood, of downtown LA, of some of the far more metro areas of LA. Where we live in Pasadena is amazing. The weather is incredible. We're right by the mountains. We are about an hour from Malibu. We've gone to the beach quite a few times. Living in Pasadena has been an amazing experience. The people that we've gotten to know here, they are very, very close friends now and have become a very strong community. And I want to pause and actually say something about that too. If you come to LA by yourself, you have to either be somebody who, like Bill Oberst Jr., who says he doesn't go to game nights, he doesn't go to hangouts with friends, he is always working, and that's how he does it, or you have to build community here, because as many people as there can be here, it can also feel really, really lonely if you don't have friends. If you don't have people to collaborate with, if you don't have people to talk with, to grab coffee with, to do what, watch Game of Thrones, whatever it is you do, if you don't have somebody to do that with and you're by yourself, you're setting yourself up behind the eight ball before you even start. Luckily for me, I moved here with my wife, so I was ahead of the game in that sense, but we've worked to create a community and it feels like home. I mean, California, living in Pasadena in Southern California feels like home. But I also found the spot very quickly that works for me. There are some people, there are many people here who would hate Pasadena. They would say, it's boring. There's nothing to do. It's all families. For me, you know, I'm 27 years old, but I've already been married for 5 years. I'm not doing the WeHo club scene anymore. But you have to find your spot. I think a lot of people who move here, they might not like it. And I think that's okay. I think there are a lot of people who live in LA who don't like LA. But they're not here for the city. They're not here for LA. They're here because of what this opportunity presents. I think there are a lot of people who live in New York, maybe less because I think New York is pretty awesome. There are probably a lot of people who live in New York and are pursuing careers in acting there. Maybe they don't like the city. But I don't think not liking LA is enough reason not to move here. But I think you have to be realistic about the fact that it's not like an amazing place to live inherently. There's traffic everywhere, everywhere. It's wildly expensive. To put it in perspective, I have a nice one-bedroom apartment, and I pay $1,950 a month. That's not an insignificant amount of money for rent, and that's for a one-bedroom. Granted, there are spots in Pasadena where it's cheaper. There are spots everywhere it's cheaper, but that's sort of one of the average going rates for a one-bedroom apartment here. So it's expensive. There's people everywhere. There's cars everywhere. But luckily, my wife and I have carved out an area for us that it feels like home. And I am so grateful for that.
What does a typical week look like in terms of acting class, number of auditions, and how long on average does it take you to get to an audition one way?
An average week, I think, depends on the average time of the year, because the midsummer months and the midwinter months are probably the slowest in LA, December and January and maybe July and August, maybe in June and July are pretty slow. But right now, my average week, we're in the midst of pilot season. I'm not going out for any pilots. I just don't think I'm there yet. But I maybe have a commercial audition a week. And to put it in perspective, that's not like, oh, I have a script and going out for a national commercial. A lot of these commercial spots that I go out for are you show up, you take a picture, you maybe say, hi, I'm Nelson Ritholer, and I'm from Minnesota. You say something about yourself, and then you go home. Mm-hmm. How long does it take me to get there? If it's a good time of day, which my agent has been fantastic about getting me the midday auditions because she knows where I live, and she's an amazing person, probably 35 minutes there, 45 minutes back. And again, that's for an audition where you're in the room for 2 minutes. on a bad time, if my audition's at 4 o'clock, I'll probably be in the car for an hour and a half on the way home. So I've gotten real good at listening to podcasts. I have my friends and family members that I call when I'm in the car to talk. You just have to get used to the culture of being in your car here, because I don't live in West Hollywood. I don't live in Burbank where things would be closer. And even then, I would still be spending a lot of time in the car. But one of the realities of living where I live is that it's a little farther away. On a really good week, maybe I'll have 3 commercial auditions. I have acting class every Wednesday night, and I study with Joshua Labar. And this is the No Bullshit podcast dedicated to the pursuit of acting excellence. Joshua Labar is the No Bullshit acting coach. Another piece of advice that I would give someone, and I wouldn't give to myself because I got into this class pretty early, get into a good class. And I don't mean a class, because there are acting classes. You can throw a rock and hit an acting class in LA. Don't get into a one. Get into a damn good class. A class where people are going to call you out, where they're going to point out your areas of strength, and they're even more heavily going to point out your areas of weakness, and you're going to get better. That is, it's an investment. I pay $300 a month for my acting class. So between that and rent, again, not cheap, not a cheap place to live. It's not cheap to study, but I know that I'm nowhere near the actor that I need to be. And acting or class is a humongous part of that. So I'm in class every Wednesday night. I love it. I look forward to it. Even on the moments where I basically shit the bed in class and I don't do well, I go home and I say, damn, that was a good class, because I learned. And in the days where I really crush it, oh, I'm on cloud 9, because it's amazing, because I feel like I'm growing as an actor, right? You take your lumps and you take your wins, but I'm in class. I submit every single day on Actors Access, and my manager submits for me on LA Casting and the other websites, but I'm submitting to little short films, student films that pay a little bit. I try to stay away from the free work now, but I submit for films and little bit parts every single day on Actors Access, Monday through Friday. They don't have postings on Saturdays and Sundays. So I'm submitting every day and just working. Like I said, I'm memorizing my acting class script. If I have a film audition, I'm working on that. I'm listening to podcasts. And I have a life too. We have friends and people that we see. But I try to do at least something every day.
All right. Do you have a piece of paper and a writing utensil in front of you? If you don't have one, get one. And this is to everyone who is listening to this. If you're not driving, do this and then thank me later. Nelson, on the top of, and for everyone who's listening, on the top of this piece of paper, I want you to write 365 day goals. Okay. This is your list of things that you want to accomplish when it comes to acting in the next 365 days. So by May 1st, 2020, this is what you hope to accomplish. Nelson, what do you hope to accomplish? And he's writing these down. I'm watching him. And before I start, sorry, these need to be very, very specific. And I'm going to tell you if they're not specific enough, and I'm going to make you change them.
Because of where I'm at, like I said, I don't have co-star credits. I don't have guest star credits. None of the major casting directors know me. Basically, nobody knows me here. Let's call it how it is. One of the goals that I have is I want to get 5 co-star auditions for major network television shows.
Okay,
I don't care if the line is, can I get you anything else? I want 5 co-star auditions for TV or film, like a small film one-liner part.
So 5 legitimate co-star auditions.
Major office auditions. I want to book my first paid commercial role with my agent, because it's been a year and I have not booked anything with Jamie yet. I've gotten quite a few callbacks, so that tells me I've gotten close and I know I can do it. But I want to book my first paid commercial. I want to finish and tape this monologue that I'm writing, and I want it to be really, really good. I want the production value to make it look awesome. and I wanted to showcase the best acting I've ever done. So I want to finish.
I suggest.
How can we edit that one?
I suggest saying something like, you want to finish this monologue, and you want to be like an 8 or 9, depending on what you decide, 8 or 9 out of 10 pleased with it. Okay. If you say 10 out of 10, that means that it's beyond your wildest expectations. But if you say 8 out of 10, I am 8 out of 10 happy with this. Yeah. With this product I've created. Okay. Mm-hmm. One thing I want to say for these co-stars, I think you should decide on a callback percentage. What
if
callback?
Get 5?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't actually matter. But what callback percentage for legitimate co-stars or guest stars, what callback percentage is your goal? 50% of the time, 60, 70, 80, 40. 20, 40% of the, okay. So 40% of the time you want to get callbacks. That's your goal.
40% callback rate.
So that means that you have to keep track every time you have an audition. Mm-hmm. Did you get a callback and did you not? And you also need to make sure that you know that there is a callback, because sometimes there's not.
A lot of these little commercial things that I go out for, there's no callback. They're just working off of that.
Right.
Another one. I want to upgrade majorly my self-tape situation. So that's one thing I really want to work on. And I'm working on getting a ring light, so just getting a better lighting kit. Luckily, my wife has a really nice DSLR that shoots HD video, so I'll be using that. And I want to get a better backdrop because I want my self-tapes to have that professional, clean look. And I have the most expensive part done, so I want to get a ring light. And that, and I also want to get not just any, but get a theatrical agent that I feel good about. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Good. I think one of your goals should be to book one legitimate credit, TV or film I'm talking about, because you already have a commercial goal. I would say one legitimate credit, and that's probably going to be a co-star.
Pop my television or film cherry in LA.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Good. So I hope everybody did that who's listening. That single activity will do more for your career than almost anything else, in my opinion. I do it, and it works. It works. Well, Nelson, that's about it, man. I'm endlessly interested in your experience in LA, and I talk to you a lot, and you keep me up to date, and it's fun. It's fun to watch your progress and live vicariously through you.
Lee, we've talked all about me and what I've learned and what I wish I would have known in 1 year. And I mentioned this earlier in the podcast, but you've been doing this specific journey of the podcast for 4 years. That's a long time. What have you learned? What are some of the most important lessons that you think about when you journey back on the 4 years of building this to what it is?
It's a little bit hard to think about because it's been 4 years. I'm a completely different actor. My knowledge base is completely different than it was. And I've transformed in many ways based on the experiences that I've had over 4 years and all the advice that I've gotten from this podcast. Every time I talk to someone, every episode, I learn a bunch of stuff, a bunch of little things that I can change, upgrade. Like, for instance, here's an example of something like really specific that I just did not know and I heard on the podcast. And I changed it, and then it was upgraded. Holly Allen, who's a casting director here in Chicago, was on an episode. And I had always heard that you needed to have 2 headshots. You needed to have a commercial headshot and a theatrical headshot. One of them is more serious, more dramatic, and one of them is you smiling and looking very commercial. She said that the more headshots you have, the better. The more good headshots you have, and you want to look different in all these headshots. So not only do you want a theatrical and commercial, but you want one where you look like a lawyer, and you want one where you look like a dad and you want one where you look maybe kind of nerdy, then your agents have all these. All of them are uploaded to Actors Access or casting networks, and they can pick based on the role that they're submitting you for, which one is right. So after she told me that, I went out and I got, now I only have three, I think, and I'd like to get more. But I have one that's very much like a Chicago cop, like a angry, serious look that would be good for things where I'm playing a character that's more angry, you know, a cop or a criminal or whatever. So there's tons of stuff like that that I've learned. But the main things, first of all, the biggest lesson I learned at the beginning, and I think, and forgive me if you've heard me talk about this many, many times, because I have, because it's a huge lesson. And I think a lot of people fall into the same trap that I fell into. And that is when you start to audition for co-stars, you think because it's one or two lines that you have to show a range. You have to show a casting director what you can do. It makes sense. It makes sense to think that way because you want to show what you can do as an actor. But it is the exact opposite of the way to book the role. It's completely backwards. And Ron Marasco drilled that into me in the first episode before I'd ever booked anything, any network, anything. And that those small roles, and even up to guest stars, it's really about doing as little as possible, disappearing into the script, throwing away the lines, doing as little as you possibly can, because that's the way it's going to be in the show. That is the job of that character. And that was a huge lesson. That was a huge lesson. And that was right at the beginning. That was, you know, 4 years ago. And I think I had been figuring that out right before I talked to Ron, and he sort of corroborated that for me. He solidified that in my brain. And like I said, when I went on that Empire audition, the one that I booked, the first co-star I ever did, I did so little. I cranked it back so much. And I booked that role. So a big part of this podcast is these interviews with these people, and the advice that I hear from these people confirms what I already believed. Not everything. Some of the stuff I believed was false. It was not right. It was not the right way to be thinking. But some of the stuff was right. And one of those examples, the biggest asset for an actor is the ability to relax in an audition. The ability to be calm and be yourself, be authentic in an audition. And that is paramount. It's the biggest thing. I would say that if you could only work on one thing for the next year, it would be to develop the ability to relax in auditions over the ability to act. The ability to relax will do more for your acting than anything you can learn in an acting class. Let that sink in. That is true. That is true. Okay. I know that. And you will have some teachers say, use the nerves. And they'll say, nervousness means that you're excited. Nervousness means that you care about the role. Fuck off. It's not true. It doesn't work. That is people who have not been able to develop the skill of relaxation, changing the way that they think in order to make it okay for them to be nervous. It's not okay. It will never do you any favors. Okay. Another thing, and this has been huge, not only in my acting career, but in my life. I think it's the most important thing in life, and that is gratitude for where you are. And when it comes to acting, being grateful and being present. I don't think anything is more important than being present in life. And if you think that success will lead to happiness, that happiness will be on the other side of an accomplishment, maybe it's your first co-star or getting an agent or becoming a series regular, it's not true. It's not going to happen. You have to develop the skill of being happy, even if you're struggling, even if you don't have an agent, even if you're not getting callbacks. You need to, if you're not enjoying yourself, it's not worth it. So I am constantly working on that skill, the skill of being present and the skill of gratitude. And then the last thing, and what I have always believed, making the acting disappear, has always been and will always be the North Star. Building a character is far less important. Everything, choices, risks, all these things pale in comparison to the ability to make the acting disappear. When you get in front of the camera, or when you walk into the audition room, can you say the lines and look like someone saying the lines in life? Can you look no different? Because if you can't, then you can see the acting. I've always believed, and this podcast has just confirmed it over and over and over again, and all the experiences that I've had in this business has confirmed that that is the most important thing. Always strive to make the acting invisible. Don't worry about emotions. Don't worry about building a character. Don't worry about anything until you can do that, until you can make the acting invisible. If you like this podcast, please go to your podcast app, scroll down, and give me a rating or a review. Thank you for listening.